Mother, man.
What a bunch of bloody pussies. I'm the one that brings the mayhem.
Spreading faster than a case of the clap in a trailer court. Able to shatter eardrums within a 666-mile radius. A podcast more brutal than all the rest. It's Murder Metal Mayhem!
All right, what the fuck is going on here?
What's up, motherfuckers?
It's Tuesday, and we're throwing down a new Murder Metal Mayhem. And I'm in Horns High Studios for the Horns High Podcast Network. We got a bonus episode going down tonight and doing a little different because I'm here at Horns High. Chris, you are remote at McCormick Studios there in Bloomington.
I like it. All right.
And Joey, you're over there in the 419 in Toledo. So how's everybody doing?
Fucking well.
Be doing a lot better if it wasn't for the vehicle situation.
Yeah, you had a little vehicle situation happen this weekend, and so you were That's just going to do it from home. Real. Some That's serious mayhem. Yeah, so I'm glad you guys, everybody's okay, but you're there in McCormick Studios, and I got the you got the nice decor in the background. It's very nice. So it looks good. And then Joey, of course, with his Reverend Jim over his shoulder. There at the 419. So we're doing a little bonus episode tonight and a little different format, which we'll get to here. Now, first of all, what shirts are we wearing? Chris, what about you? What are you doing over there?
I got the Ted Bundy shirt that Cashman gave me.
Nice. Yeah, that's a great shirt.
Rest in peace.
And the See You in Hell hat.
See You in Hell hat on.
Yeah. That's very nice. And you got Terrifier over your shoulder.
So you got Art the Clown, Captain Spaulding.
Which is badass. Yeah, Captain Spaulding. Yeah, Jason. Very nice.
Freddy and a couple of Jasons, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Joey, what about you, dude?
I'm wearing this shirt is from a band I was in back in the day called Fallen Hollow. And It was like a black death band. It was the band I got into whenever I first moved to DeKalb and got out of prison. And fucking, that's the band I actually met Texas Dave in. He played guitar and fiddle in that project. And anyway, this shirt, also what's cool about it is it's the first time that I ever had my art on a t-shirt.
Oh, that's super cool. That would be really cool. Yeah, for
sure. Now there's been a fucking shitload because all the
bands. Oh my god!
Yeah, right.
But this was the first time ever that any of my art was on a shirt.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I got this shirt in the mail yesterday from Santiago, Chile. My friends down there in Sculpture, man, totally been digging on those guys. So fucking badass death metal. Really digging on them. Going to be doing an interview with the band here coming up in a couple weeks. So loving that shit. And Santiago, Chile was on the top 10 cities listening to Murder Metal Mayhem. So how cool is that? So we got some friends down there, and that's fucking that's awesome. Nice. Yeah, so.
I got a chainsaw.
So last week, guys, we did our episode on a gruesome one, another cannibal story. Old Armin Mivas, the German who found a willing participant to be eaten alive in 2001. Wanting him to eat his cock. I mean, just absolutely brutal. One of the more graphic ones I think we've done in a while.
If you can't do Dahmer for 213, you gotta do Mivas.
Yeah, I mean Mivas definitely the next best thing to Dahmer in that one, and totally an homage to Dahmer, I think too. Yeah. We talked about. So kind of there's no way he didn't know about his predecessor there. It was a crazy one, and courtesy of the O'Cannibal Cafe, when he was out there on the internet just trolling for somebody to be eaten, which is just fucking crazy. And it was a gory one, man. Definitely gnarly.
Right now, let me find somebody to eat.
Just Google. How do I find people to eat? Yeah, I'm sure you'd find some things. And he recorded it on video, 4 hours of fucking video of this. So we did that last week. So if you missed it, that was a good one, episode 213. And Chris, you did the metal feature on a band I didn't know anything about.
That was Elijah. It's like two different bands, sort like,
yeah,
literally two different bands. But yeah, fucking, it was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, that was cool. I always like to learn about bands I don't know about. And, you know, we did a great Killer Cage match and the usual insanity.
As far as the Killer Cage match, Michael did let me know that if we're going to eat him, we got to put him on a rotisserie like a hog.
Like a hog. Like, oh, apple in the mouth and everything?
Yeah, he just like, dude, if you're going to eat him, you got to do it right.
Okay, all right. Well, fair enough. We can do that. And so, yeah, if you're not wondering, you don't know what the hell we're talking about, you got to go listen to that Killer Cage match where Chris's brother Michael's always offered up in interesting ways here. And, you know, we did a good one. We're passing 900 listens to that one today. So thank you. And if you missed it, go on and give it a spin, a little up on an average. So that's really cool. Now, Joey and I, we did an interview, Joey, on Sunday, and that was really cool. Who was that we spoke with?
We spoke with Matt Bishop, who is the front man for Human Artifacts.
Hell yeah. Former Lividity, of course. Everybody from, you know, our area certainly knows who Matt Bishop is, but, really cool guy. You and I both individually have known him for quite a while. It was very fun and a cool conversation, you know, between three metalheads. And we're going to be dropping that episode next Friday, the 17th. I actually had the date wrong, Joey. I said the 10th, but really it's going to be the 17th.
It's the 17th.
Yeah. Okay. This Friday is the 10th. I don't know what I was thinking on that, but that just goes to show. When it's not in the notes, sometimes that'll happen. But that'll be a bonus episode, the full interview we did with Matt. It was like 45, 50 minutes, I think. That was a long interview than most. It was great. So that'll be there. And we did a YouTube video of it as well. And that'll also be out on the 17th. So that'll be cool. Got bunches of these coming up. So we're going to be dropping more band stuff here as we get caught up. Now, the day after this episode drops, so Friday the 10th, you're going to get the full interview that I did with the two guys from Skeletal Remains, which is badass, Chris and Mike. And those guys, they're on the Morbid Angel tour.
Not doing an interview with you.
That's right.
How many times do I gotta say it?
Those guys are on tour with Morbid Angel, actually, as we're doing this podcast. So you don't want to miss it. 37-minute interview we did with those guys. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, the video, again, will also be up on the YouTube channel on Friday as well. Now, tonight, we're going to be doing a bonus episode on Britain's most violent inmate. Chris, this guy sounds like he should have been in some bars in Pontiac, you know. just slugging it out, man. Bare-knuckle boxer, man. Charles Bronson.
Charles Bronson, God damn.
And not the actor. I mean, Charles Bronson, the actor, is pretty badass in his day, but this dude is, like, off the rails. Now it was not his real name. He was a name he took on when he fought, when he was in the ring, but that's how most people refer to him. Of course, you know, that's a kind of a notorious name. And he spent a long time in solitary. And out of that though, he's become a very accomplished artist. He wrote multiple books, but the one that I read that prompted us to do this bonus episode called Behind Bars that he wrote about his experience inside prison, and it was very good. A lot of really interesting stories and stuff. And there's so much with him. We're doing this as a bonus, but, you know, we're kind of just scratching the surface with this. Now, if you're new to the podcast, this is not typically how we do things. We separate the show in our murder segment about our, you know, true crime subject, metal on a band or a topic, and then mayhem's just kind of wild, crazy, killer cage matching and all of that. So
fucking nutty stories.
Yeah, lots of interesting things that are different than doing a bonus episode just on a single topic. So that's how this is set up. But definitely come back if you like what you hear. Now, guys, this is the last week we're going to be talking about the old Tampa Grind Fest. Huge thanks to those guys for sponsoring us for this month. That was really, really cool. We worked with them before with their Death Fest, and this one's going to be wicked. I mean, Joey, you're going to be there. So that's fucking awesome, man. And it's right at your birthday, too, which is even cooler, right?
I think last year, I can't remember, or the
year we went
2021, yeah. I think it was on my birthday or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Really fun.
Oh, no, it was Saturday, May, so it was a couple days before, but this is a couple days after.
Yeah.
Anyway, and something else cool about that is Eric, who's the guy from Blasphemation, and he does Tampa Grind and Death Fest, and
right.
The guy that we contact with. His birthday is also May 10th.
So. Oh, nice. That's even fucking cool as hell.
So we celebrated together. Now this will be the second time that we'll, you know, be on the show together.
And you'll be there with him. That's really cool. Yeah. And that's Friday, May 12th and Saturday, May 13th. Yeah. That's 2023 at the iconic Brass Mug in Tampa, Florida. So this
and
is
I play Gormonger on Friday. So if you only make it out for one day, come out and see me.
Yeah,
play.
Go see Gormonger. And this is the fourth annual event he's putting on, so very, very cool. And Joey, the headliners are killer on both nights.
Yeah, Kill Division on fucking Friday, and then Coat Hanger Abortion on fucking Saturday.
Yeah, that's just nasty. And we'll link to their website in the episode description if you want to get your tickets. Plus, you know, we're going to, you know, we've been jamming their songs. We don't do the same format with this show, so we're not going to have anything to play tonight, but we've been playing their songs from different bands that are playing.
Oh, yeah.
So go back these last few episodes and get some of that. So yeah, Tampa Grind Fest, Friday, May 12th, Saturday, May 13th. Big thanks to everybody out there listening to the podcast. You know, keep spreading that word. You know, we keep tearing it the fuck up. This past week, we were at about 2,800 listens, so that's awesome. Thank you. And a couple hundred up from the week before. Make sure you guys check out our website, murdermetalmayhem.com. Lots of stuff on there. Got an online store, you know, CK page, all sorts of cool shit on there. And I just found out today, guys, we just hit 660,000 total listens to Murder Metal Mayhem. So amazing. No, a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks tops. We're there, probably in two.
One big week. Everybody tell your friends to listen to us.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. We need 6,000 more listens we'll hit it. We'll hit 666. So it's going to be cool. And keep spreading that word, and we appreciate it. Now, tonight we're going to be talking about Charles Bronson, as we mentioned. He was born Michael Gordon Peterson in Bedfordshire, England. That just sounds very English, right? 1952.
Bedfordshire sounds fucking English.
It does. Everything sounds smarter over there. I don't know what happened to over here, because we're like mispronouncing famous names over here in Illinois.
I was watching Jeopardy when I got off work. I don't remember the question, but it had something to do with the language. And the dude was like, the one dude answered, he's like, York. And they're like, no. The other dude's like, Yorkshire. They're like, yes.
That's funny. So he's born in 1952. He was known for a time as Charles Ali Ahmed, but he's better known as Charles Bronson. But actually, he changed his name legally to Charles Salvatore Salvador in 2014. So he's gone by some different names, but most people still know of him as Charles Bronson. Right. The media, of course, dubbed him Britain's most violent prisoner, but he's never killed anyone. And that's the interesting thing. I know that's his. Well, he did, but he never did. And that's always been his thing is like, man, I've done a lot of time in solitary. I've been in prison for, you know, a really long time, and I never killed anybody. You know, that when you look at it that way, that's fucked up. And the guy needed to be probably hospitalized more than put in a prison, you know. But anyway,
that mental shit got him.
Oh yeah, and he got quite the reputation for kicking some fucking ass. I mean, tearing it up, a very, very, you know, jacked up inmate, you know, with a lot of fucking anger. Man, could be pretty deadly. And
I think it was more just don't give a fuck.
Yeah, at some point, I think that's where he was, you know, just so sick of it, you know what I mean? And like you said, snapping mentally because he's been kept in a, you know, a fucking cage for 23 hours a day. I mean, that's fucked up.
4 inches off the fucking floor. That's how I slept.
Right. So, Chris, we've done some other episodes. One comes to mind. If there's others, I'm not sure. Of somebody with a famous name that's not the famous person. What was the other one we did?
Yeah, Anthony fucking Hopkins. Fucking passed, killed his wife, stuck her in the freezer and shit. Fucking,
yeah, that was fucked up. Got his stepdaughter pregnant, which is not good.
That is a fucked up shit right there.
Yeah, definitely. The preacher.
That was a good one. Was that you that brought that up, Cashman?
I think it was Joey. So, yeah. So, okay. Anthony Hopkins, we did that one. And not the actor, the preacher who stuck his wife in the freezer. And so this time we're talking about Charles Bronson, but not the guy, you know, blowing people away and movies. He was a badass back in the day. Not that badass, a different badass, all right?
Yeah, the 80s, he was fucking the shit.
Oh, he was the shit. Yeah, I used to love his movies, man. Now, Joey, had you heard about this guy before we talked about doing the case?
No, this was a new one for me. Whenever you brought it up, I had to go and research some shit. And very, very interesting.
It's fucking insane, dude.
It is.
I would imagine if I lived in like fucking the UK or something, then I might have heard of this case, but
right.
It was pretty elusive for me though.
Yeah, for sure. I stumbled upon it myself on YouTube like I do all the time. And you know, we've done plenty of prison stories, so when it comes to this one, I think, you know, that a lot of our listeners that dig that stuff certainly are going to be interested in hearing this one. And true crime, you know, fans tend to like, you know, the prison stories. Our prison episodes do really well. And we're just scratching the surface on this one tonight.
I was saying something to somebody at work, like, yeah, the podcast we're doing on Tuesdays on Charles Bronson, not the actor. And they was like, holy shit, I fucking love that dude. He's a fucking nut. I was like, yeah, he goes off on some shit.
He really does, man. And we're going to talk about it. They were getting up on the roof and all this shit. So, so we're just scratching the surface. If you want to go check out more, there's stuff out there. Now, he was one of three sons who grew up in a middle-class home raised by both parents. As a child, he was kind, good with other kids, pretty mild-mannered, very intelligent. But now he becomes a teenager, and things start to change. His family moves to another town called Port Cheshire, and he starts getting into trouble. Now, Chris, I don't know if this guy would have been hanging out with you and your brother over there at the Nation or not.
He might have been like, we'd call him the Nation Bouncer.
Oh, the Nation Bouncer.
Yeah, because like he didn't give a fuck about beating nobody's ass. No. I mean, okay, male people. He didn't hit females. He didn't hit kids. He didn't do that shit.
Right.
But like, dudes, he just liked to fight, dude. And he liked to steal shit for no reason.
Right. Yeah, that's a thing with a lot of these guys. That's for sure.
He'd have been the bouncer, though.
All right. Fair enough. Now, Joey had a series of jobs, but in one instance, you know, he only lasted a couple of days. He gets in a fight with somebody at work. Who does he get in a fight with?
His fucking manager, because he's like, well, I don't think I bloody got in a fight with a manager yet. I'm going to cross this off the list.
What was he doing? He was doing something in a grocery store or something, stocking shelves or something. And he's like, this is woman's work. I don't need to be doing this shit. I don't remember exactly what it was. I think it was fucking stocking shelves. But yeah, like, nope, not doing woman's work. Fuck this.
He's like, God damn it, I should be fighting, not stocking veggies.
Speaking of the getting a fight with your manager thing, I remember doing an interview for somebody at work. And it was like a prospective employee comes in and, you know, we're just asking him these really simple, basic questions just to kind of weed some of them out, and asked the guy, how did he get along with his last supervisor? And he said that he got in a fight with him. He said, and I got fired. He says, but I didn't catch a charge, you know, and I'm just like, dude, like, wow. Okay. Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming to the interview. Get the fuck out of here, because I don't need that. So, yeah, it was kind of funny that he was honest. Cool. I mean, I guess that was a good thing, but not so much getting in a fight with his manager and almost getting arrested.
That does not make me want to hire you as an employee.
Exactly. But, Joey, not a good way to move your way up the corporate ladder. Getting in fights with managers and all that kind of stuff. So he's just like, but Chris
it's
said.
A way to fucking gain your street cred, though.
Yeah, like Chris said, man, he loved to fucking fight and he was good at it, obviously. Now he did his first bit in prison at a prison called Risley. After he smashed some parked cars when he got into it with his girlfriend's father, which is just nuts. I'm just imagining this happening, you know.
I could fucking just imagine back in the day when Craig was around, like all the fucking demolition done to random vehicles. It's just like, holy shit.
To love those videos that you guys used to do with all that. Whatever happened to all those?
I don't know.
Funny shit. That was long before Jackass was ever conceived.
I know.
You guys were doing some Jackass out in the fucking cornfield. That's for sure. It was good shit. But, he's bare knuckle boxing. And like I said, his manager suggested that name. Charles Bronson, and he's just a fucking beast in the ring, which is obviously right where he needs to be, because he's just fucking letting that aggression out instead of smashing cars and shit like that. So better to be fighting in the ring, maybe making a few bucks, you know. What's that?
Yeah, buildings are cool, though. Smash some buildings.
Sure. So he would really get into some shit when he smashed a taxi that he stole into another car. Wow, he steals a taxi, then smashes it into another car.
This dude's like, Charles Bronson's a pussy. I'm going to make a real action movie out of my life.
Yeah, exactly. Hold my fucking beer. The driver of the car survived the accident, but Bronson was in a world of shit now. So he's getting into some trouble. He's 19. He gets busted doing what they call a smash and grab, where he busts the front window of a store and then steals all the shit from the window and takes off.
Smash and grab.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's kind of wild. And he got a suspended sentence out of that. But eventually his chances would run dry and he's going to get in some trouble, Chris. And what happens to him?
So like 1974, he gets busted for armed robbery when he's 22 years old.
Yeah.
Fucking, he gets 7 years in prison. This 7 years would end up to be
a long many time.
Because this motherfucker gets to prison and he just fucking doesn't give a shit about nobody, getting in fights with fucking other inmates,
right,
getting
in a fight staff, with
guards, fucking everybody, just destroying every, he was a fucking human tornado everywhere he fucking went, dude.
He was
just goddamn don't give a fuck. Oh, no. You like this shit? I don't, fuck you.
Like, yeah,
destroy it.
Google the guy's name, because the pictures of him, he's this big bald dude with this like curled handlebar mustache.
Oh, the dumbest mustache ever.
Yeah,
he puts the other Charles Bronson stash to shame.
Truth. That's the truth.
There's all pictures too with the fucking like an actual like shit too.
Yeah,
he's changed obviously over the years, but that classic picture, I think the one I posted in our Facebook group, was that handlebar mustache shot.
He looks like the motherfucking picture you would see if you think of like an old-timey circus performer.
The strongman. Totally, dude. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. That's what he looks like, yeah, exactly. Old-time strongman. Yeah, for sure. That's definitely a good analogy. And then Joey, you know, this is so he gets a bad reputation getting into some shit in prison, man.
Yeah, and that's not going to fucking do you any good, because you're causing problems with staff and inmates. So now you're getting transferred out of this institution, put in another, and it becomes a fucking cycle. You're doing this over and over, because everywhere you go, Charles Bronson's just fucking ready to fight, ready to fucking be anti-fucking authoritative, and he hated prison. He was in prison longer than anybody in the fucking world, and he hated prison more than anybody else. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I mean, just in 2 years, he was in like four or five different prisons. I mean, they're moving them all over. Nobody wants to deal with this shit.
Do they even have four or five prisons there? Like,
I guess. I don't know. They're like building them. Like, build another one. Fuck. We can't deal with this dumbass. You know, what the fuck? I mean, who would want to deal with that? You know, if they had to move him out of the cell, he was just like, come and get me, you know, and he's just fucking swinging and just throwing fucking shit nuts. At him every day. I mean, just brutal, man, brutal. So yeah, this is definitely, you know, not going to do him well, getting bounced around prison to prison.
Dude, didn't he get moved around like fucking in like the 13 years, like, 70 something, like just a ridiculous amount of times he got,
I believe, I don't know the total, but yeah, it was a ridiculous, it's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Now, when he was being transported from prison to prison, they were so afraid of him, they had to chain him down to the floor of the prison van. And I mean, these guys just did not fucking want to be in a vehicle with this dude not secured down to something, you know. And I can't say I blame him one fucking bit. And he would start doing time in solitary, and that's when he started bulking up. You know, he's got nothing to do but work out. And, you know, at this time, his wife divorces him, you know, so it's just like not.
That shit's fucked up there. Because, like, he's in prison and his wife fucking is, like, sick of his fucking violent tendencies and all that. He's supposed to be getting out, but he keeps adding more time because he's getting into fights all the time and just raising a ruckus. And then when his wife files the divorce, the fucking guards fucking come up and bring him the divorce papers and are like, your missus doesn't even want you. Look at that. And he just snapped off on that too, right there.
Oh, wow. Like,
could you imagine that? You're in prison and the guards are like, haha, motherfucker, your wife don't even want you either.
Yeah, holy, that is shit. Fucked up. Yeah, for sure.
That'll fucking just like trip the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just, this guy is just like a powder keg, man, and he just fucking goes off. nobody wants anything to do with him. In 1978, he ends up in Broadmoor, and we have talked about that place multiple times. Maximum security mental hospital there in England. And we've, you know, Maudsley, we did that case, Robert Maudsley, he was there at Broadmoor. I think the Yorkshire Ripper is at Broadmoor or was at Broadmoor. So there's been quite a few. And it was at Broadmoor that he nearly strangled another inmate to death with a silk tie. I'm not quite sure where he got a silk tie from, but he got one and almost killed the guy.
That's because that dude fucking killed his girlfriend and raped her daughter and shit. And he was like, nah.
Oh, wow.
I ain't about that life, dude. He's going to die. But that tie fucking, he's a strong motherfucker. And he's putting some fucking shit on. The guards had to tackle him and shit, fucking get him off. But
wow.
Like they said that, like the dude was instantly, and this was in a mental hospital.
Right.
Like he said, it was like so fucking quiet because all the legit mental patients are just staring, like don't know what to do and going about their business. And he's just like, it was just so quiet. I don't know how it was so quiet, but he like was looking at him, waiting for him to die. But he obviously didn't get through with that fucking.
Wow. So he almost killed somebody, but not quite. Yeah. Not quite. That's crazy. Yeah. Now that you're describing that, I do seem to recall that. But 1982, Bronson would climb up on the roof. Now, this is fucked, but just for the listeners, this is not the first time. So just bear that in mind as we tell you this, okay? 1982, he's on the roof of the mental hospital, okay? Broadmoor.
And it's the first time in over 100 years any inmate has ever got up there.
Right. Yeah. And he's doing this rooftop protest. He's fucking tearing roof shingles off, causing so much damage. He's up there for 3 days. Yeah.
He just like tore all the fucking, well, back then it wasn't sheeting. It was fucking one wire planks or whatever under the shingles. We just fucking, he got that shit straight down to the trusses and shit, dude. Yeah. Like, fuck you. Like, I'm killing you, tearing out all the fucking electrical wires and shit, just not giving a fuck.
3 days this is going on. Causes $300,000. I did the conversion, it was in pounds. $300,000 US dollars of damage this guy did up there for 3 days until finally his family talked him down. So what the fuck? All right. Now, Chris, Bronson would end up getting into some art and that was kind of interesting. What was the deal with that?
He likes cartoons. He's actually like pretty smart about that shit. He's actually a decent artist. I've seen his drawings and shit. And the book is his basically autobiography. Like he wrote that shit. So this is the word coming from the horse's mouth right here. Fucking, and he can write. And he just, especially now that he's older and we'll say he's calmed down a little bit.
Right. We'll he claims that he is.
He just wants to stick by his artwork, and he's really good at what he does. He's like winning contests and shit. Just fucking amazing, dude, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, the book Behind Bars is really good. Like I said, if you're interested in the story, I found mine on eBay. But you can get them, I'm sure, on Amazon. But
my buddy from Michigan, he's in a band called Syphilic. And Syphilic had one of the albums that he put out. It's called Behind Bars.
Nice.
Pertaining to fucking, you know, being locked up, but also the double meaning for him is he's been drunk, wasted out behind bars all the time. Fucking.
Oh, shit.
So it's a good double meaning for that, too.
That's pretty good. And Joey, I mean, we've talked about that before with inmates and artwork and stuff, but what did you think about Bronson's art?
I thought it was decent, man. I mean,
curious what you thought.
I didn't have much else to do. Yeah, it was good. Whenever you're locked up, you know, creative outlets come to life for a lot of people that maybe wouldn't have normally done stuff like out in the world. And that, you know, even with me, I got to say that had I not gotten locked up, because I did a lot of art while I was in there, like a fucking ton. That's what kept me sane and fucking
right.
You know, that's how I made my money in there too. So, so I carried that out with me, you know, into the, whenever I got released, and I've done art ever since, done all kinds of shit. But I had done art since I was a little kid, but there was a period there before I got locked up, like in my teens and shit, where I kind of just fucking never did anything for a few years, you know, and didn't give a shit about it. Yeah, doing drugs. Yeah. So, but anyway, so getting locked up, you know, put me back into it, and I got fucking way better than what I was before.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that's fascinating, but I just see that a lot with these cases we've done.
Yeah.
Now he made a third rooftop protest and hopes to get transferred out of Broadmoor. So he keeps getting up that three times at Broadmoor. He also did an 18-day hunger strike. And finally, 1984, he gets the transfer out to Ashworth Hospital. And so he got out of Broadmoor like he wanted.
Third rooftop. Yeah. I thought it was funny because he just wanted to talk to the doctor. Doctor comes out. He's like, I just want to be transferred to, I can't remember where he went. Oh, yeah. It was Ashworth that he wanted to go to.
Right.
But they didn't do it right away because he's talking to the doctor, and the doctor straight lied to him at first. Like, oh, yeah, we can get you there. And they brought him back in and was like, not locking your ass back up. But he did eventually, like you said, get transferred. But
yeah,
at first, he said that in his book and shit, from everything I fucking researched, whatever, like that he said that his biggest regret was not tearing up the roof on that third fucking time. I should have fucking done that.
Wow. Man, another 300,000. Probably would have been a little bit more then, right? Inflation. Yeah, that's just crazy, man. So, now he's at Ashworth, and at first he's pretty chilled out, but then he gets into it with some of the other patients. Stabs one dude with a broken bottle, which I'd love to know how the fuck he got a hold of a bottle, after the guy made sexual advances towards him. So
he's like whistling at him in the yard, and then he sent him a letter fucking telling him of all the fucking shit, how he wanted to fuck him and shit.
Right.
And he pissed him off, and he's like, how'd this get past fucking censors in the prison yard or prison system? And even the guards are like, yeah, I don't know how the fuck you got this, but that's how snapped off. He did not like homosexuals at all.
No, not at all. So probably not the best idea to fuck with this dude in any way, shape, or form. So his record in Ashworth would lead to many fights, transfers to other prisons where he did, you know, another rooftop protest. I mean, this guy is just out of control. He's put in solitary after so many fights with the staff and the inmates. 1986 alone, he was transferred between prisons a total of 8 times in 1 year. That's just unfucking believable. He got out of prison in 87 somehow, and he got more into the bare knuckle boxing, you know, to try to make some money. And this is when he was actually going by Charles Bronson. Now, Chris, he had a girlfriend and wanted to get her a ring, so he does something very romantic.
Look, dude, he loves this lady. Loves her. So, like, he fucking, like, I need to get her a ring, but I'm fucking broke. So I'm going to go rob a fucking jewelry store.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, that's the best way to get a goddamn
makes sense. Fucking ring. Makes sense.
Like, so, like, this dude, he gives her this ring, and at first she gave him an alibi saying that fucking, no, he didn't rob this building or store or whatever. But then she recants her statement and says, yeah, he fucking totally did that shit. And even fucking describes the clothes he was wearing to the fucking cops.
Oh, wow.
The day he robbed his store and shit. And now, mind you, he's been in prison for, was it 13 and a half years, something like that?
Right.
He gets arrested and goes back to prison 69 days
after. Damn, only 69 days of freedom gets put back in prison.
Gets another 7-year sentence. You remember what happened the last 7 years?
Right? Sentence? Yeah, that seven way. Turns into a lot more.
This goes.
Oh, Jesus my God. So Joey, he would get on the roof of the prison again.
I mean, that's where this dude's at all the time, but this time he doesn't get to fuck around.
How is he getting up there? Like, is it?
That's what I'm wondering. You know what I'm saying?
Like, how is this not secured? I mean, like,
I know it's not like there's a bunch of other inmates up on the roof too. It's just this dude. You know,
the first time back in the day, you know how the gutters were fucking the steel fucking pipe strapped to the wall,
Oh, that's true.
And the second time. It was because of the scaffolding they had set up to rebuild the roof that he had already pulled
off. Oh, shit.
That's so classic.
So, like, bro, we're still working on what he fucked up, and he just gets back up there on their fucking
floor.
Like, fuck y'all.
Wow.
But, yeah, like I said, this time, though, they caught him fucking very quickly, and they fucking threw him in solitary and shit.
Right.
This dude's like living in solitary and everything else. How does he get in so much shit? It's like any time that he's fucking around any person, guarantee he's swinging on you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you're a dentist, if you're a fucking doctor, anything, if you're up against Charles Bronson, he's going to swing on you probably.
Oh yeah.
Right. Just get ready.
Yeah, there's only like two or three inmates, I think they've said, in the entire history of him being in prison that he's been like okay with. Two or three.
That's crazy.
That's fucking nuts, man.
You know what he was cool with, though, is he had these rats that were living.
Oh, my God.
Room. It was fucking Shawshank Redemption.
A whole
style.
Family of them, though, in his cell with him.
Fucking cat size.
What else are you going to do if you're fucking locked up in this fucking place with nothing to do and
right
except work out and fucking eat shitty food and you never get to see anything? He was talking about fucking, you know, because where he was at, he didn't even have a window and it was just basically a steel grid. And fucking, he was like, that's my fucking window. That's what I have to look at. There's interviews with this dude too, if anybody wants to keep looking
at it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, the shit he was talking about and the fucking rats, I mean, fuck. It was something else in life that was around him. So
right.
He figured out that he could probably coexist with them because, hell, he's a big old hoss. He's just going to smash one and bite its head off if they fuck around. So
right.
You know that. He's probably sharing the shitty food with them and shit.
Yeah, I mean, he said it kept him sane, you know, like having this interaction, like you said, Joey, with something else that was living. You know, it's sad, but that's, you know, what he did to cope with this shit. It's just unbelievable. No matter where they send him, staff and inmates are scared to fucking death. You can't blame them. Any chance he got, he would lash out and fight. He's also getting, you know, now he's getting into starting riots in prison. He's tight nude. He strips down naked. Like Randy from the Trailer Park Boys and starts a fucking riots, fighting with weapons made out of whatever the fuck he can find. I mean, just brutal. And in one instance, he took an assistant warden hostage during the riot.
Dude, he fucking also like a couple times they were transferring and shit. Like, he fucking just stripped down naked, took, like, black fucking shoe polish and painted his whole body from head to toe in fucking black.
Yes.
It's just like, dude, like, holy shit, what is that brain, dude?
Yeah, he's a fucking trip, man. Like, I mean, wow. This dude's just off the hook.
You know what else? He tried to pin his fall up with shoe polish and shit, and he still ends up getting fucking caught every fucking time. I can't remember who they were talking to. Somebody, like one of his ex-girlfriends or somebody they were talking to. and they were saying how he was just the worst robber of all time.
Right, I saw that.
He had all these schemes, and he never ever fucking came up on any of them. He always fucking got busted or never got no money or fucking he sucked at robbing shit.
He needed to be in the ring, man. That's where he would have been better off, you know. So somehow, though, he gets out of prison again, but this time he's only free for 53 days before he gets busted again with the robbery gone wrong. Like you said, I mean, what the fuck? He's caught with a sawed-off fucking shotgun, which is not good.
A shotgun and fucking over there.
You know? Right? Exactly. This guy can't stay out of trouble. I mean, maybe he wanted to go back, really. I don't know. I mean, it's like you said, he's either the world's worst criminal or he's just got this, like, maybe deep down he feels more secure in the prison. I don't fucking know. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's possible that he was institutionalized.
Yeah, I mean, I think at some point.
Vocally he talked about how much he hated prison, but
right.
I don't know. I don't know if this dude was fucking set to function outside of it.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm not saying that he shouldn't have been in solitary the whole time, but you know.
Right.
He hated prison, but at the same time, when he fucking went to go kill that dude that killed his girlfriend and raped the girl or whatever.
Right.
Like, his whole thing was, that was a way for me to get out of this mental institution and get back into prison. Because he hated fucking how it was there. Because, like, I'm sure you guys remember fucking, like, he's talking about, like, the people in there were literally crazy. They're like, he's like, they're bashing their heads against the wall. The one guy fucking carved his own eye out.
Yeah.
And he's talking about the patients in the hospital. Like, one dude, he's like, he ripped his own testicle out. This one dude thought he was the fucking Pope and shit. Like, he's just like, these people are literally like, this is not where I need to be. And that's not going to help your mental status anyway.
Wow. Yeah, it's like there's really nowhere you can put him because the mental hospitals are going to be like that. And the prisons are just going to be like, you know, like fucking, like the arena fucking fighting, you know, shit every fucking day.
It's like, I can't even hurt these people because they are fucked up, dude.
Yeah, it's just, it's unbelievable, really. Now, you know, Chris, as he's gotten older, he's settled down some, he says, but he developed this fitness plan. What was the deal with that?
All right, dude. The dude says he can do, all right, what you got in the notes is 172 push-ups in a minute and 94 sit-ups in 30 seconds. So I also saw like 172, I didn't do the math, but I saw that like it was like 1,700 push-ups in an hour is what he says he can do.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That's like a shit ton of, I can't do one. Maybe because I can't bend my wrist that way because I broke and never got it fixed. But also, I did do the math on the sit-ups. That's 3 sit-ups per second. Like,
that's pretty fast. Fuck. I don't even know how that's possible. Wow.
And I don't know, but as far as the 1,700 push-ups, I saw that in his book, there is a fucking signed certificate by like 2 witnesses that said, yeah, that actually fucking happened, 1,700 in an hour.
Wow.
Holy fucking shit, dude.
Yeah.
And if you look at this horse, it's like, I kind of see it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no.
Everything, he's got cardio.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. And Joey, he would go on to publish a few books, man. What was, that was impressive.
11 books, so quite a few. And man, we talk about a lot of fucking people that publish books out of prison.
We have.
And this guy has got 11. I'm not sure when about he published all of them. You know, he's fucking here and there. I don't know if he did them from the hospital or penitentiary, but pretty crazy, though.
It is really crazy. I mean, it's just unbelievable, man.
One of them is actually a book of his workout regimen, like that he published a long time ago.
Oh,
like during
sure.
quarantine, it shot up in sales because nobody could go anywhere and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
How fucked up is
That's interesting. That's interesting. So many positive things have been written about Charles Bronson in the Guardian newspaper. He has raised a lot of money for charity from various things that he's been involved with. And it's too bad this guy couldn't get a grip on the mental side of things sooner and not, you know, use violence like he did when he was younger. Now, I saw, guys, that he just had his parole hearing yesterday, which is crazy. I checked it out. He's 70 years old now. He told the parole board, "I've had more porridge than Goldilocks and the Three Bears, and I'm sick of it," is what he told them. He's locked down 23 hours a day. His only contact is with three other inmates, like I mentioned earlier. He spoke for about 10 minutes. He said he's been naughty, but not naughty, naughty. So he's been in prison. What's that?
He just wants to kind of get out and live in a fucking caravan down by the beach and shit and do his artwork, honestly.
Yeah, if he could just stay away from people, I think he'd be all right. He's been in prison for 50 years. So
he should go hang out at Sunnyvale.
He told the board, he told the parole board he's had 11 hostages. And he's not proud of it, but he's not ashamed of it either. So that's kind of interesting. A rep from the prison, who I guess he has to deal with all his outbursts, told the board that Bronson would not have the skills to cope on the outside, that he is institutionalized, which, you know, is very sad. More than 500 people have written to him since he's been in prison. And he says he tries to write a lot of them back, but he just can't possibly keep up.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to make their decision later this week on whether that he's going to get it or not. Another option would be to send him into general population. But, you know, it looks like it's either yay or nay on the parole. And then if not, you know, just the possibility of. Yeah. I mean, you would think at 70 years old, this guy would be ratcheted down enough that he could deal with that. But I don't know, man. I mean, he's just like a fucking just crazy, literally. In 2009, there was a movie made about his life called Bronson, which I watched, played by Tom Hardy, who does a really good job. It wasn't bad. Yeah, it wasn't bad. The book I mentioned, Behind Bars, is really good. I read most of it. I didn't read all of it. There's a really great glossary of prison terms in there that are really good. So he's got a good sense of humor, like Chris, you were saying with his cartoons. He's got kind of a, you know, interesting sense of humor. You know, he definitely speaks his piece, and you gotta give the guy credit for that. Definitely a very interesting guy, very sad that he can't somehow find a way to pull it together, because I think he could really do some good things. That might help, you know, send him to Illinois, let him smoke some weed and chill out. So anything to add to this one, guys?
I had something, but I forgot what the fuck it was.
Of course. That's always how it is. So Joey, anything?
No.
All right. Well, we hope you guys like this bonus episode. There's a lot more to this. A lot more to this one. So if you want to check it out, there's some other things you can do. There's podcasts. There's a lot of YouTube stuff. Joey mentioned the interviews, the book Behind Bars, but he's got 10 others. So there's a lot of stuff out there that's available. Now, next week, we're going to be back with a regular episode. We'll be doing our feature on another serial killer, guys. There's a good one, Joey. We talked about him not that long ago.
Yeah. What are we doing next week?
Robert Yates. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Spokane area prostitute killer from 1975 to 1998.
Going back to Washington.
Yes. And, He murdered at least 11, but they believed there were others because when he was in the military, there were some mysterious, you know, murders that kind of seem very similar to what he did in Spokane. So it's very interesting. Very interesting. And we brought him up when we did that Donna Perry episode not long ago. She was over there in Spokane, and that's how Yates came up with that. So he's on the schedule for next week. So that should be a good one. And the Murder Metal Mayhem intro music is by Low 12. So thanks to everybody out there listening, getting close to that 666,000, guys. Woo. We're going to be there pretty soon. Any day now, I would think, like Joey said, we have a big week. We could hit it. You know, let's be optimistic. Joey, one more time on this Tampa Grindfest. What are the details?
Man, Tampa Grindfest, fucking May 12th, which is a Friday, and Saturday, May 13th, at the Brass Mug in fucking Tampa, Florida. Be there. Fucking all kinds of sick bands. Fucking Kill Division's going to headline day one. I play on day one. Menstrual Moonshine. Fucking day two.
I love that.
Yeah, Coat Hanger Abortion from Tennessee. They're fucking headlining on day two.
Are you going to be there on day two, Joey, but just not playing? Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'll be there both
days. So, yeah, if you're listening and you can't make it, well, let's say, you know, and Joey's going to be there both days, playing on Friday, but he'll be there all weekend. So that's super cool. And we'll link to that in the episode description. So if you want to get tickets, that's coming up here in a couple months. So that's fucking awesome. MurderMetalMayhem.com, our new website. You got a web store on there. You can get a t-shirt. We got a few of the original t-shirts left, but then those will be done. We got our great zombie shirts with us with CK, Gaither artwork stuff on there. Amazing colors on that shirt. Really impressive print work there on that. The activity book, die cut stickers. We got some good shit on there. And you could join our 666 club for 25% off if you do it on murdermetalmayhem.com. So you can like us on our Facebook group, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to that YouTube channel, especially now, a lot of band stuff dropping. Definitely want to check out that Skeletal Remains interview on Friday. So come out and support the 666 Club, guys. That's how they can help us out. Just $3 a month. Patreon.com/murdermetalmayhem. And you get the episodes a day early. You get discounts on merch. You get any news, anything going on, you're the first one to hear about it. It's a good VIP thing. And it helps us out. We do bonus episodes on there. We're due for another, but we do them on there exclusive for the Patreon. You get the interviews before they go live, and sometimes that's weeks ahead. So some of this stuff is definitely they get them when you guys are getting them. So, all right. So we'll see you guys next week, and horns fucking high.
Bye-bye, guys.
Mother, man.